On air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, who is the co-chief of infectious disease at Westchester Hospital. Dr. Spicehandler, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Our telephone number for you to call in with a question for the doctor, 203-333-9422. Dr. Spicehandler, let me get right to it. As an infectious disease specialist, to what extent are you concerned about these newest strains of COVID-19, and what do we mean, what do we have to understand when we hear things are even more contagious than they were before? It seems like the whole point of COVID-19 in this pandemic is that things have already been incredibly contagious.
Yes, they have. So what this means to us is that we're not out of the clear even as we vaccinate. We still need to take our normal precautions, which are washing hands, wearing a face mask, staying socially distanced. We can't let down our guard now that we're getting vaccinated. These studies haven't shown yet whether the vaccine will be effective, but they do believe it will be effective against this newest strain. It's going to take a while to vaccinate the population so that we need to continue our precautions until we have herd immunity, which may be a larger number with this new strain. So we may need to vaccinate much more of the population to get that herd immunity effect.
I want to ask you about that because there's the strain in the UK and then there's the strain out of South Africa that has already spread to a bunch of different countries, including Norway and Austria. And that one seems to have something to do with the spike protein. And some doctors are concerned that the vaccine may not be able to be as effective against that one. Have you studied that one?
Yeah, I don't think we know yet. I don't think they've studied it yet since it's so relatively new. But I know they are looking at it right now. Scientists and vaccine makers are looking to see if the vaccine will be effective against those. The likelihood is that there will still be some immunity conveyed by the vaccine, so it may not be totally preventive, but definitely will decrease the chances of you getting severely ill with COVID. So I still recommend vaccination for everyone once it's available.
Dr. Spicehandler, can you explain to me as a layman, really, because I don't understand this, if I've gotten vaccinated and it works, and I'm working under the assumption that it will work, and I won't get sick, can I infect other people? How does that make logical sense that I could give other people a disease that I don't have myself?
Oh, okay. So let me explain. There's a lot of confusion on this one. So while you're in the process of getting vaccinated, of course, you're always susceptible while you're building your immunity from the vaccine to still getting COVID during that period of time. Whether you get Pfizer, it's about 4 or 5 weeks till you're immune, probably about 5 weeks with the first shot being given and then the next one at 3 weeks, and then it takes about 10 to 14 days to be immune. And Moderna takes a little bit longer because there's a bigger gap when you give that vaccine. It's a 4 week interval, so a little bit longer. But the vaccine isn't 100% effective. 95% still means that you could possibly get COVID and you're not going to know it. Most likely you'll have an asymptomatic case of COVID, and therefore you won't have symptoms and you won't know you're spreading it. That is why they say you still could give someone COVID, because you, in fact, still could probably, small chance, get COVID, and then you would unknowingly spread it, because the symptoms will be much less.
But the symptoms will be less, and there's a far less likelihood, but just to be very cautious and on the safe side. So when do you think, so we're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, 203-333-9422. When do you think, and explain to me what you mean by herd immunity. What does herd immunity do for people who have not gotten vaccinated? What does that mean?
So herd immunity is when a certain level of the population has been exposed to the virus so that other people get immunity just by being in the same population. so that once there's a certain amount of cases of COVID, it'll be less likely for it to be severe COVID. If it spreads, it'll be more like flu. And people get flu, but not so sick if they get the vaccination. So it'll be somewhat like that. It also requires that a certain level, first they said 60 to 70%, now with this new strain it may be higher, have been exposed to COVID in order to other people who haven't been exposed to COVID may get some level of immunity by being in the community that has COVID. It's a very hard concept to understand, but that's what it means. So it means that others who haven't had COVID may get a mild form of the disease and not know it once everybody else has had it. It's hard to...
Is that because the virus itself gets weaker with all of the people having had their shots?
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
And less likely to spread, right? So that's what they mean by herd immunity. And it's sort of like when people got polio shots way back when, and then after there was a certain level of vaccination of polio, polio sort of disappeared from our country. So that's the same kind of concept. The only thing about the vaccine is they don't know how long the immunity lasts, so that's still up in the air how long that will last. Once you get vaccinated, it's not clear yet since it hasn't been around long enough to make that assessment.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, co-chief of infectious diseases at Northern Hospital, 203-339-422. If I were to get COVID right now, doctor, who would I see in terms of treatment for COVID? Tell me how that would work right now.
So right now, we have new treatments available. So the first thing is if you get COVID, you should obviously see a physician or a clinical, urgent care, wherever you're diagnosed, to check your oxygen level. Lots of people have their own oxygen pulse oximeters at home now. If your oxygen level is good and you're just diagnosed with COVID, we have a new therapy, a monoclonal antibody therapy, two different drugs, one made by Lilly, one made by Regeneron. Regeneron is the drug that President Trump got. And they are given only in the outpatient setting by an infusion. So you would be referred in to one of the infusion centers to get this medication. And it is helpful. It's like giving antibodies, almost like giving the vaccine. And this will protect you from getting severe COVID and requiring hospitalization. So that's the first possibility if you're not that sick. The second is obviously if you have trouble breathing or you have a low oxygen level, you need to go to the hospital. And in the hospital, we also have therapies now available. Remdesivir is an antiviral that's available, and steroid therapy, dexamethasone it's called, are available to decrease the likelihood that you will go on to a more severe case of COVID.
In Northern Westchester Hospital right now, are there patients who have COVID?
Yes.
Because we know in Connecticut, we have about 1,150 more or less in all of Connecticut that are suffering with COVID. How have the numbers been in Northern Westchester Hospital?
Well, the numbers had varied. Obviously, in the fall, it was less. Now, with the post-Thanksgiving and holiday, people not listening to not staying socially distanced, we have had more cases. We've been running in the 20s, sometimes in the 30s, but we are getting people in and out of the hospital much faster than early on in the epidemic back in March and April and May because of the new therapies available.
We're chatting with Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, the co-chief of infectious diseases at Northern Westchester Hospital. Dr. Spicehandler, when I look at the statistics, we're about 370,000 people that have died, and as a nation, we have not turned the corner yet on this pandemic. I still see a stubborn 1-2% death rate overall. Have we done better than that locally, as far as you can see? In other words, are our local fatality rates getting better?
I don't know the exact number, and I believe they are better than they were in the spring, but they're not better. We're still having mortalities due to COVID, And that is why it's really important that you get diagnosed and seen as early as possible so that we can give you some of the newer therapies to decrease the chance that you will get a severe case of COVID. We are seeing improvement because of that, but I don't know what the actual number is right now.
Dr. Spicehandler, as somebody who looks at the big picture, are there preventative measures in the way of regular vitamins and things that you think people should be taking right now, the way we always are supposed to be taking care of our health? Are there things that you would recommend in terms of our own daily regime that might help our immune system fend off COVID-19?
Okay. So there are no real studies to show that any of the supplemental vitamins work in fending off COVID-19, but just doing normal good health hygiene is the best way. Stay as healthy as possible, eat healthy, exercise. Those things, of course, always make your immune system better. And try to keep with the protocols of hand washing, wearing masks, and social distancing to keep you the healthiest possible.
Right now, this vaccine has been rolled out. There's a lot of frustration in terms of who should get it first. And there are various CDC guidelines. There are governor's committees that are interpreting the CDC guidelines. As an infectious disease doctor, who do you think should be getting these vaccines first?
Okay. So obviously, the first group that got it were the healthcare workers, mostly the healthcare workers who work directly with COVID patients in the hospital. Now, in New York, anyway, they have expanded that to include all healthcare personnel, office staff, dentists, people in the community, EMS workers. And I think that's very important because we have the closest exposure to active cases that are we're taking care of them. The next group, of course, that's susceptible is the elderly. They've already started vaccination of the nursing home population, and that's really important because they live in a congregate setting and it could spread rapidly, as we know, in nursing homes. But now the real elderly should be the next group that comes down the line, and the essential, high essential workers. In New York, they're talking about police and firemen and people who respond to crises. That is the next group on the New York state guidelines that's going to receive vaccination after they are done with all the healthcare personnel and the 75-year-olds. And then they're going to move on to 65-year-olds who are at higher risk and people with underlying conditions who are younger than 65. And
have you
other
gotten
essential
your
workers
doctor?
Will be down the list a little bit.
Have you gotten your shot yet, Dr. Spicehandler?
Yes, I actually am due this weekend for my second shot. I had no side effects to speak of, a sore arm for a few minutes, not really even lasting the night, and no other real side effects. I had the Pfizer vaccine, but I've heard the same about Moderna, that some people have sore arms and a little bit of fever the first day, perhaps, but not much more than that so far.
As somebody who studies this, as the co-chief of infectious diseases at Northern Westchester Hospital, do you have any reservations at all about either the effectiveness of the vaccine or taking the vaccine? There are people that are concerned because they hear that it's an mRNA, a new kind of a vaccine, that somehow it's manipulating genes in an untried way, and they don't want to be the subject of that, quote, experiment. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that getting COVID is a lot worse than whatever consequences may be down the line. It is not a live vaccine, so it's very unlikely that the vaccine itself will give you the disease. Right now, we don't have data on long-term consequences, so I can't speak to that, but I can speak to you'd rather get the vaccine than get COVID, for sure, based on my experience taking care of COVID patients. I recommend everybody get the vaccine as soon as you can, as soon as it is available to you.
Dr. Spicehandler, how has this been for you? I mean, you're an infectious disease specialist. You've prepared for this your whole life professionally, and yet I would venture to say you hoped you would never see a pandemic in real time. How has this been for you?
Well, it's been hard on everyone, on our staff at the hospital. Our doctors, our hospitalists, our intensivists, our nurses have been extraordinary. Our ancillary personnel, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, everybody has been on board making this as best as you can and really trying to manage and try to save lives. But it's been very difficult to see people die, of course. And like any pandemic, people know people who've died personally, and it makes it even harder for the staff to then go back and keep going. But they've done extraordinarily well at the hospital in terms of support for the staff and support for the community. And I think it's a terrible thing to be in a pandemic. I never did think I would ever get to this point in my life, but here we are. I've lived through the start of AIDS and other infectious diseases, such as we had that outbreak a few years back with one of the flu that were very contagious when it was in the college students. I mean, there have been times where we've had to deal with unexpected deaths in young people and older people, but this is what we're trained for. But it's very difficult, and it is emotionally trying, but we're trying to get through this, and hopefully we are turning the corner, not yet, but soon. And I think that's the positive, that we do have this vaccine. I've never heard of a vaccine being developed this quickly, and that's great that they were able to do this, and hopefully we will all get vaccinated soon.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, Co-Chief of Infectious Diseases at Northern Westchester Hospital. You go. I don't know if you've heard that there are a sizable amount of home health care aides that will not take the vaccine. They don't want to take the vaccine. What would you say to them now?
Yeah.
Well, I have.
Okay.
I have. And I've heard it on very reliable evidence, anecdotally, from friends of mine who are therapists that work in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. And that work with elderly people outside nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I want to ask, how would you be able to, obviously, typically you believe it's necessary. What would you say to them to try and persuade people to take the scene who, you know, have their own fears and insecurities about it? What do you say to them?
Well, with all vaccines, there are fears. People don't want to take the flu vaccine sometimes for fear and not really understanding that they can't get the flu from the flu vaccine. And we just have to educate everyone as much as we can about the side effects of the vaccine and what it means to be protected against COVID, and especially the home health aides who are working with the elderly people. They could bring it back and forth from the community to these very elderly people who are at highest risk of getting a more severe case of COVID. So I think it's a matter of education, and that's all we can do, really.
Yeah. Dr. Deborah Spicehandler, thank you for being on. You are the co-chief of infectious diseases at Northern Westchester Hospital. We greatly appreciate your time today and willingness to educate us, and stay healthy and well, and happy new year to you and your.
Thank you. You too. Stay healthy and safe.
Thank you. Sure.
Bye.
We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Show coming right up.